Welcome back to the Vital Masculinity Podcast Quarantine Edition. This, of course, is not just a special edition, because it is a debrief, but it is a special edition because, like the past, I don't know, Brian, how many episodes has it been? Like 5 or 6 episodes we've recorded? We've kind of been shut in our house because of the coronavirus pandemic.
Yeah, something like that. But I'm ready to get this party started, and Corona style.
Are you drinking out of a can?
I am.
I had a bottle. What you drinking?
I am having a beer from Rohrbach Brewing Company, which is here in Rochester. And it's called House of Silent Shadows Prohibition Porter. It's
you see, I'm being really simple today. Raleigh-Durham is one of those areas that's, I think, in the top 10 craft beer markets. And I like a good craft beer, I won't lie. But I have a Michelob Ultra because I need something local. Carbs, since I haven't been to the gym in like a month and a half. So this is my consolation prize for really only being able to do home workouts and really not even doing those as well as I really should be. But as I mentioned, this is a debrief episode, so feel free to grab your own beverages of choice. We're going to be talking about kind of life in general, and we hope that you can kind of glean some wisdoms, or maybe more importantly, things not to do, from our reflections on the past 2 months of February and March. And what a doozy these past 2 months have been, Brian. You want to give a little bit of recap? What happened since our December-January recap?
Well, I don't even know where to begin. So once upon a time in China, there was a market that sold bets. I don't know. Anyways, somehow this coronavirus thing came out of China, I guess, and, people started getting it. And then before you knew it, lots of people were getting it. And then started shutting down the schools. And I don't know how the rest of the country is, but at this point, New York is only essential workers are working. In the office or wherever they work, everyone else is either working from home or they're not working at all. So this is a it's unheard of situation in the history of the world, I think. I mean, I don't think this is probably one of the first times where the whole world seems like they're shutting down the whole economy of the United States. Crazy things are happening. I think I read something the other day that, I don't know if it said like 35 million people are going to be out of job or something like that, like pretty soon. It's definitely tough times. Hopefully everyone out there is holding on and fighting the good fight. But we're here to, commiserate to some extent. That's what's going on.
It's been a tough Lent. That puts it really, really lightly. But really, you know, to take a step back and be serious for a second, if you guys are struggling or if you are looking for a brotherhood, you know, we definitely encourage you to reach out to us, to, you know, to join our Facebook group. We started having weekly conversations on a Discord server, voice conversations, I might add. Excuse me, the beer's already hitting me. But these weekly conversations are just kind of a way both to foster brotherhood. In many ways, it's interesting how this kind of pandemic has made us really, really take action in this regard. Because, you know, there's that old saying about good times create weak men and hard times create strong men. Excuse me. And I think that's definitely true. As I mentioned on one of our previous episodes, though, it's really up to us to make the best of it, because it's not just like we wake up one morning and it's like, oh, the hard times are over now, I'm a really strong man. If life were that easy, then we wouldn't be having a podcast on virtue. We wouldn't be having a podcast on how to be, you know, a good brother and things like that. It's just not that simple, unfortunately. But really, we do want to have these conversations with you, not just about masculinity, but, you know, we want to make sure you guys are doing well. You know, it's been tough in the Solera household, I won't lie. Jessica, my wife, got laid off this past Friday, and that was kind of expected, even though she's an essential service worker. There really is a lot of, not just the pandemic, obviously, but really the economic hardship, I think, is what's going to be more effective and impactful down the road, unfortunately. And without a doubt, I mean, I keep telling my wife, like, this is something that we're going to be telling our children about. And whether it's to the same degree as the people that lived through the actual 20s or the 1920s, I guess we have to say it now since it was a century ago, that's yet to be seen. But what's really important for us now is to kind of take advantage of the time we have at home, because that is a blessing in so many ways besides being a curse. Like, I've been trapped at home for 4 weeks and it's not as fun as I thought it would be. But it's really up to us to take advantage of these times and to be strong men and to do things that will better us as compared to just binging Netflix.
One thing that I think that we can take away from this, and I hope that if you've been listening to our podcast for a while now, you've been thinking about, you know, how is this affecting me? You know, and what can I take away from this? How can I improve as a man and grow as a man in this type of situation? Because there's a lot of things that I've realized by being put in this situation, you know, realizing, you know, there's things that I've had in my life that I don't technically need to have. And there's other things that maybe I have not, I've taken for granted and should value more. Just for example, I think I mentioned this in our last episode that we were recording. I just miss being around people. And it's not like, it's like, I'm fairly introverted. Like, my main hobbies are reading and going for runs, usually by myself, or taking my dog to the park by myself. So a lot of things I do are by myself, but I like being around people, like seeing people. And I don't think I realized how much I appreciated that and needed that type of interaction until I've spent the past 2 weeks, over 2 weeks now, cooped up in my room, basically.
These past 2 months, and God knows how long it will continue on, but these past 2 months have really been one kind of forced memento mori. And I wrote an article about that for our new journal called Death, to put it bluntly. But memento mori, in brief, is kind of that practice of remembering the fact that you will die. And while Brian and I may not be in the affected groups, or as affected groups as, say, people that are in their 60s, 70s, and 80s, and luckily Brian and I don't really have any comorbidities like smoking or obesity or things like that, thank God, it's, you know, there's still a chance that we could catch this and we could die. But really, it's just made, as Brian just said, but it's made me and my wife as well, and I think so many other people kind of realize what's actually meaningful. I mean, what's interesting, another bit of information from the Sawyer clan is, you know, we're going to be in the market to buy a house at the end of next year, or at the end of this year, I should say, the beginning of next year. And it's really made us kind of rethink our priorities, not just because the economy has crashed and we've had to kind of move some money around in a way we didn't expect, but also just because, you know, it's like, well, do we really want to continue the same existence? Or is this same existence of kind of consumption and just, you know, constant bombardment of noise and sound and work and, you know, just going and going and going, is that really feasible? So, you know, we're realistically looking at, instead of maybe living in the city limits of Raleigh, maybe moving a little bit further out, getting some land and, you know, having a place for our greyhound or greyhounds to run around and getting some chickens and things like that, and really beginning to simplify our lives in a way that is, I don't want to say impossible, but difficult in an urban or a suburban setting.
One thing that I hope is that this will wake up a lot of people. I think of the movie The Matrix. Maybe this is a crude analogy, but, you know, there's people that are going about their daily life and they didn't realize that a lot of these things are, you know, fake. They're not important. They're not the reality, the most important thing in their existence. And just being deprived of different things during this time period, maybe it's the opportunity for us to think about what is really important. You know, do I need to eat out, go out to restaurants all the time? Or maybe it's more important for me to stay home and eat with my family, or to have friends over and eat with them and cook together. Maybe these things that are not as convenient are actually things that will help bring communities together, will help us to grow together, and to help us to become more virtuous men. And I think there's a lot of examples like that. If you take this time to think about the things that you think you need in your life, and maybe you're realizing that you don't necessarily need them, maybe it's an opportunity for us to take a look at what life might look like after this is over. What is the new normal going to be? Because I think a lot of people are going to wake up and realize that what was normal before is not necessarily what they want to see going forward.
And what's a paradox, especially with this virus and the economic ramifications, is that because we are being quarantined, we're being told not to, you know, go out and see friends and family or go to church or go to work or do things that were very mundane before. You know, first of all, that causes us to want to do them. You know, the second we are deprived of something, we kind of instinctually want it more. But on a deeper level, in times like this where we are deprived of, you know, this basic social communication, we kind of desperately yearn for community. It's amazing to see how many people have been on Facebook, which I think has been kind of widely regarded as a dying platform for many years. And I'm not just talking about, you know, people that are in their 50s and 60s that have used it for the past 10, 15 years, you know, kind of straight. But you see so many people returning, so many people like on Twitter that were doing, say, Exodus 90 during Lent, or they gave up Twitter or social media for Lent, and they're coming back because they realize that, you know, in these extraordinary circumstances, it's kind of important for them to keep up with people, that this may be their only way of communication. And obviously, you know, social media is not perfect. I am certainly not one that will advocate, you know, if I had a son now that was like, "Dad, should I make a Facebook?" Well, I would be like, you know, no, why should you? And that question actually kind of puts the question more on myself right now as well. And that's a really good way to reflect on a lot of our actions, you know, is what would you tell your children to do? But, or in my case, hypothetical children. But, you know, these things, I really truly do hope that it translates over into a wider community outreach and deeper communal roots after this is over. You know, one of the things I think that can be actually beneficial to this would be the fact that you're seeing so many companies work from home. Now, obviously, after the fact, this kind of assumes the economy gets back to normal in a fairly quick time, and that the network and the infrastructure, you know, remains stable enough to enable that. But kind of short to midterm range, that could actually lead a lot of people to moving to maybe a quieter area, you know, a quieter way of life. And I'm not just talking about the quiet suburb where there's no crime. I'm talking, you know, a little bit further out, like I mentioned, because I do think a lot of people are yearning for a simpler life. What's funny, Brian, is I actually read an article a couple of days ago how, you know, one of the things that the supply chain was impacted because of demand, you know, outside of masks and hand sanitizer, was actually baby chickens, because so many people are going to buy chicks and they're like, you know, I think that would probably be a good idea. And obviously, you know, you can make a joke and say they're emotional support chicks, but I think in many ways you do see kind of a rise in homesteading and really just kind of the tenets thereof that lead to a simpler life.
I was talking to the director of my organization at work, and he was saying, we've been working from home for 2 weeks now, I guess going on three. And he was saying that, you know, cause I asked him, cause our company is growing and we're potentially might move into a new building to have some space. And he says that, they're going to reassess that, not because of the economy, because I think, thankfully, my job seems pretty secure. We're actually hiring people. But because a lot of people, he said, want to work from home. They want to continue to work from home. And I think that's just one thing that we're going to see, is that after we've tried this huge experiment of people from working from home and realizing that maybe that works, maybe people like being with their family, being around their children, and not sending them off to daycare or something like that, I think, you know, this might be a catalyst for stronger families, stronger communities, and more diverse types of work opportunities that we could see going forward?
You know, I really hope so. I'm thinking about my own experience. And obviously, as I mentioned, while I've been at home for 4 weeks, my wife, this is her first day, you know, first kind of work or weekday since being laid off. My wife's only been home, I think, maybe 4 or 5 of those past 20 days. And, you know, so I've not had much experience with, you know, kind of the extra time that I will otherwise be getting with my wife, but I've certainly, the beer is really hitting me. This is what makes it a deep.
Must be the low carb.
Exactly, low carb and all, it's all bubbles. But you know, like I've not experienced the benefits of these close ties. I've thought about, and as I kind of briefly mentioned on our Enduring Calamity with Virtue episode, which kind of addresses the coronavirus, I've mentioned ways that I've failed, and we recorded that episode, I think, 2 weeks ago, 10 days, 14 days ago, something about that. And I've certainly gotten better in some ways, and I've certainly gotten worse in other ways. It's actually interesting to see, because in many ways, you know, the thing that went first was my willpower. And a lot of that can just be the fact that I'm not getting up every morning with kind of a mission in mind, getting dressed that kind of reinforces that mission, where I'm dressing apart from how I normally dress, and you know, going into some place. And all of those are very symbolic gestures, but all of those can really get you into the right mindset. And I've certainly started to try to do that these past few days, where, you know, I'll make an effort, you know, and heck, you had a tweet, I think it was yesterday, where it's like, does anyone else get dressed up for Sunday mass in the living room? And, but that's actually a really beneficial thing, because men are ritualistic and symbolic creatures. And if you're going through this quarantine and you go through, you know, even if you work from home regularly, if you go home, go through that with like just your PJs, you're not having that distinctness of time. You're not having those distinct chunks that really actually do give your life a lot of meaning. But as I mentioned, you know, I've certainly failed a lot, and it's been very humbling. It's been very, very humbling, because I'm one of those guys that'll definitely kind of, you know, start off any goal with a strong head of steam and realize that not just that I failed, but that I'm not the person that I thought I was. Like, a great example is, like, I'm like, oh boy, I'm staying at home. That means I can, you know, open my prayer book and maybe not pray the ninth or the third, the sixth, and the ninth hour, but maybe just do one of them every day. Nope, not at all. And, you know, my prayer life has been the same, if not even worse, because I have that kind of excuse that I can put it off. Like, oh, there's no rush. I don't have to, you know, get up and eat breakfast so I can go shower and go to work. And that realization is actually really interesting, I think. And that's something that I think a lot of men should kind of reflect on, particularly this time of year, this time in life, this once in a lifetime opportunity, is that you are probably not the man you think you are. You probably think, you know, in my case, I'm like, I'm a good Christian man. I am someone that is kind. I am someone that cares about other people. I am someone that, you know, is generous. I'm someone that, you know, all these things. And I got smacked in the face by how much I am not those. And that's not a bad thing. I'm not saying like, oh, woe is me. I mean, yeah, I have a lot of repenting to do. But at the end of the day, this realization, this knowledge, this acknowledgement of truth about who I am is not an admittance of defeat, but is actually the first step to victory.
One thing that I would say is important that you kind of touched on is that I think we need to try to keep some semblance of routine. We have to, I think it's important to recognize the things that you did before this started and continue to try to do them and adapt them the best you can. Because, you know, I could just, because I work now in my bedroom, I could just roll out of bed, you know, wear my PJs, not take a shower, not brush my teeth, just work all day and you know, like some slob. And, you know, I'm tempted to do that. But I think it's important to, you know, have some respect for myself, have some respect for other people, even if they're not going to, you know, be in the same room with me. And, you know, especially if I want to come out of this, you know, in good shape, I need to continue to follow the things that I think are important. And so that's why, as you mentioned, I've been dressing up for church. I've been watching church online, which is very odd, especially because, you know, Catholics, we it's important to receive the Eucharist, and obviously I can't do that because it's virtual. But, you know, the one challenge that I have is I've been doing pretty good with most things, but for whatever reason, I've been struggling with exercise. And maybe it's because, you know, New York spring weather is raining all the time, makes it difficult. But, you know, it's important to not make excuses for yourself during this time, but to actually look for a way to continue to improve yourself, continue to maintain the things that you have found to be important beforehand. Because, I mean, I don't know if it's come out officially, but you know, we're going to be in here at least until the end of April, if not longer, who knows? This is a new normal for at least a couple more months, at least a month or so, if not longer than that. So you better start thinking about adapting to it and actually finding ways to continue to improve as a man and maintain yourself as a man in this situation.
And definitely as a man, I feel like it's our responsibility to take advantage of these situations, to make sure that we shape our lives and we live lives that are anti-fragile, to quote Nicholas Nassim Taleb, who I've quoted probably half a dozen times already in various podcast episodes, but to make sure that we thrive on adversity instead of just kind of surviving or letting it overwhelm us. I mean, I'll personally admit that that's obviously not as easy as it sounds. I've struggled with depression. I've struggled with anxiety. And what's actually interesting is that my anxiety has been great. I did a little bit of preparation before this really hit the fan back in the beginning of January, kind of saw this coming down the pipeline and said, hey, we'll spend a little bit more money on food. You know, we'll have this in our mindset and in our eyesight so that if this becomes big, well, you know, we're prepared. If not, no harm, no foul. We get to eat, you know, some pasta and beans and rice and yada, yada, yada. And that helped with that. But a confluence of factors, mainly just kind of being at home, this loss of routine, this loss of really symbolic action in life, really is just, you know, kind of had some swings with my depression. And, you know, I'm not going to say that it's something that is completely out of my control. There are obviously things I can do to mitigate a lot of these causal factors, but also to mitigate the effects. And thank God, you know, I have been pretty good, but I certainly am probably a little bit more weary than I would have been otherwise. I'm certainly a little bit more tired. If you listened to an episode we recorded actually right before this, which is our communication episode on the differences of males and females, you'll probably notice that particularly as we started off, before I got a full head of steam, I was pretty, maybe a little more monotone than usual, pretty kind of tired sounding. And this is a Monday we're recording this on, and I'm typically someone that's great on Mondays. So it's certainly been taking its toll. But I think this really speaks to the importance of, you know, living in the truth, as I mentioned, living humbly and realizing that we are going to have these failures and these weak spots. But then taking prudent action, reflecting on it and seeing how we can shore up our defenses, seeing how we can make sure that we are being strong, whether it's all the time or whether it's just maybe when our families need us. Because I think that at the very least, that's the bare minimum we should be doing. You know, we don't need to be John McClane's or, you know, the Arnold Schwarzenegger's, the character in Terminator, whoever it is, John Connor. You know, we don't need to be those people 24/7. But if we can be at the bare minimum when people are relying on us, which is now, then I think that's at least a good start.
Yeah. So, Stephen, I got a question for you. What is there anything that you're trying to focus on in this, I guess, quarantine that we have to look forward to for the next month? I know that you guys call it, I think you called it the Great Lent. Well, this seems like a great, great Lent. So
maybe add a couple more greats.
Yeah.
It's the biggest thing, and this has never been a challenge for me, so it's not exactly something new, but you mentioned it before, excuse me, is reading. I've tried to take on a lot more maybe challenging or reflective works, you know, some of the great works of the Western canon. I am currently actually probably about exactly halfway to the Divine Comedy of Dante. I have Nicomachean Ethics by Aristotle, which those two in many ways actually kind of go hand in hand, as well as, oh goodness, what is the other book that is coming soon? I have another book on the way. Amazon is taking its sweet time, but obviously I'm going to let them relax a little bit. I've been kind of reading some lighter works by like the Venerable Fulton Sheen, light, I guess, compared to the Divine Comedy, but still kind of intellectually stimulating. And, you know, I think you and I have probably both read about 3 or 4 books in the past 2 or 3 weeks. And that's something that's good. But realistically, my goal for this quarantine is to continue doing that, but doing it in a very reflective manner, not doing it just for pleasure or doing it to kind of escape the boredom, but doing it so that I'm actually taking away, particularly from a work that is fictional, but has a lot of philosophical, theological elements like the Divine Comedy, and making sure that I'm fully grasping them and that I'm understanding them and being able to incorporate some of the philosophy into my own, you know, framework and worldview. So I'll flip that around and ask the same question for yourself.
Well, one of the goals I had for Lent was to write more, and I have been failing at that. I think I set a very lofty goal of writing 1,000 words a day. So I'm going to try to, I don't know, maybe setting a specific goal like that, while helpful, it tends to make it a little bit more daunting. But I definitely want to continue to write more. I've been reading a lot. One of the things I'm reading is St. Augustine's Confessions. I'm also reading this book called Hillbilly Elegy, which is about this guy who grew up in Ohio. His family was kind of from Kentucky, and you know, they had he lived in a broken family, you would probably call it. His mother had, you know, married several different men and divorced them. And so he lived with different people throughout his whole life, and they're pretty poor. And it's basically about the story of him struggling to succeed in life, overcoming obstacles. And, wow, what a great book to be reading right now. I mean, obviously it's not, the most uplifting thing to read, but, it might be something for our listeners to check out, because I think it helps us to look into, you know, challenges that other people have overcome and faced, and to see how they've done that, because we're certainly facing a pretty monumental challenge right now, some of us more so than others. But that's a couple things I'm reading, focusing on writing, and just trying to maintain my routine. I signed up for 3 Spartan races this year. Hopefully I'll get to do them. One of them's in May, probably not going to happen. Well, actually, I signed up for 4, so that was the 4th one. But then I have one in June, and then I think one like every other month after that. So hopefully by that time I'll be able to run. But either way, I'm just trying to keep in shape, trying to stick to my training routine. At the very least, it'll be good for me. And honestly, that's the main reason I signed up for these races. Not necessarily to say that I've done them, although it's fun to do, but to have something to train for, because I think it's good to have goals and things to work on and something that you can look forward to. So that's something that I would actually suggest that everyone do, is figure out what you can do, what's something you can look forward to after this is done. And not just I'm looking forward to going back to the movie theater or something like that, but what's something that you can actually look forward to, something that you can work towards during this time, so then when we're able to actually go out and mingle with other people and be around other people, you're ready to do so.
I really love that. And I definitely think that if we were going to put a daily deed for this episode, that would be something to do. But in any case, I think those are both two good closing statements. And I don't know if there's anything else that you wanted to add to that, Brian, but I think we're about ready to get into the funnest part of the show.
What's that?
Of course, it is the end where we ask you to please, you know, leave us a rating and review. We like to hear the feedback. It really does help us with the show. And we want you to be honest, because feedback, good or bad, as long as it's constructive, is actually really helpful for us to tailor this show to our listeners and also help us really just become better men in general. You know, we want to make sure that we're open to criticism. Excuse me. I need to, maybe one criticism you have is that I don't drink a Michelob Ultra during our debriefs. Maybe I'll switch to whatever you're drinking, Brian. You'll have to send some down whenever we can get it through the postage without having to disinfect it. Yeah. But again, we really appreciate that feedback. The other thing is that we want you to like us on Facebook. We want you to follow us on Twitter. We have a lot of great conversations there, and there you can follow us whenever we release an episode or on our journal whenever we release an article. Because while we are not publishing maybe once a day for journals or episodes, that's coming soon. And your support can help us get there, because we want to make sure that we do not let this conversation about virtue and about virtuous masculinity die out. And with your help, we can continue to spread it. And with your help, we can continue to have the confidence and the support to spread it.
And when we say so really, gentlemen, we mean this podcast, not coronavirus.
Ah, ha, 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 ha. Touche, good sir, touche. But really, gentlemen and ladies and gentlemen, thank you again. Really, thank you again. Your support, particularly during this time, it just really does mean a lot. Because Brian and I, I can't speak for Brian. I'm going crazy at home. I am going insane. And it's been really a blessing to work on this podcast and work on the releases that we've had, the special announcements that we've had these past couple of weeks, to write for you guys, to research. And it's not just for, you know, your own edification. It really does edify me as well. So thank you again. We hope to continue, and we will continue to keep up with, new content, to keep up with giveaways, and to keep up with other things that can engage with you. So thank you again. We hope that you enjoyed. And always remember, virtue makes the man. Have a good one, gentlemen.